It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown, Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's having a good day. Giants minicamp is underway, and we're taking your calls and your messages on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. Everything going on with Giants minicamp as we head into day two. One day of practice in the books, two more to go. And then the players are gone until training camp, and I believe they arrive on July 26th with the first practice coming your way on July 27th. So let's talk about yesterday a little bit. Obviously the big news, and this was a story in the paper, that Hakeem Nicks was here. I thought he handled everything about as well as you could. He talked to the Giants coaches in the front office. He admitted the fact that, look, I should have handled this a little bit better. I should have communicated a little bit better. Told him I wasn't going to be here, so there were no surprises. That was important. And moving forward, I'll be here. I'm not going to hold out for training camp. I'm not going to give you the reason, which is his prerogative. You don't have to if you don't want to. And he's happy to be here. And frankly, he did a lot more on the field than I thought he was going to. He looked okay. I mean, did he look like top speed Hakeem Nicks? Probably not, but he ran routes. He did team. He did individual. And I thought that was all very good signs. And in my opinion, he'll be full go for training camp based on how he looks now. So all that very good news for the New York football Giants. In terms of the practice yesterday, keep an eye on things. No one really jumped out at me. I thought the defensive line at times got the better of the offensive line in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. I saw Adrian Tracy make a couple very nice moves around James Brewer on that side of the offensive line. Ramsey's Barn actually made a couple of catches, believe it or not. I will throw that out there. Yes, he did. Bear Pascal had a couple of drops. Not that concerned about that. But overall, a good day of work. The team had to kind of run inside for 5 to 7 minutes because of the rain. They ran back outside again. It's supposed to be beautiful today. The weather's fantastic today. So the guys will be outside for the entire duration today. So overall, a good day of work for the Giants. Happy to be out there on the practice field and see what's going on. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. It's starting the phones with Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening, pal?
What's going on, man?
What's up, bud?
Hey, now, I got to talk to Anita Mark, so that was good yesterday.
Very good.
But where was you?
Shakes, you have to share the love a little bit. Now, look, you weren't here in the regular season last year. We rotate. Once we get to heavy football time, it's me, it's okay. Lance, it's Anita, it's Paul, and we do kind of a four-person rotation thing on the morning shows.
Oh, all right. Of course, well, first foremost, I want to say I'm a diehard Giants fan. So I want to thank Armand Bradshaw for the two Super Bowls that he helped give us. I loved his fire. I loved him, Earth, Wind, and Fire. He's now a Colt, and I wish him the best. What I loved about him is, like last year, I was saying the same thing at my TV, hoping that one of the coaches can hear me, and he was saying the exact same thing that I was saying. Run the ball, Gilbride. Run the ball. Can you just run the ball? Like, he throws on first and 10, second and 8. I mean, I don't get it. But we need to run the ball more this year. I hope we run the ball more. Thanks, Bradshaw. And so now I need some updates.
Okay, what do you got?
Of course, you know, I'm looking for anything from these linebackers now. And the reports, the papers, everybody has Herzlick stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know about him, and I wanted to know about Shark, Rivers, Keith Rivers. I call him Shark because that's what they called him at USC. So, yeah, can you shine some? Oh, and you spoke up on Yosi, young OC, Adrian Tracy. So can you speak up on them? Give me some updates on them.
All right, one at a time. Let's start backwards. I'll start with Adrian Tracy. He made some nice pass rush moves yesterday, and a couple times he got James Brewer yelled at by the offensive coaching staff, actually, because Tracy kind of put a couple moves on him on the left side of that line. So he played well. But again, the thing that Tracy has to prove, they think he can get to the passer. What he needs to prove, Shakes, is that he can get consistent on first and second down against the run. He's more of an undersized guy, so that's where he needs to get better. As for Herzlick, I think the coaches have been pretty happy with him in terms of his ability to direct the defense, make some plays. But again, the question with Herzlick has never been whether or not he can, you know, mentally handle it in the middle linebacker position. The question has always been whether he's going to be able to have the athleticism to cover people in coverage down the field. And I think that's going to be a real test once we get to some games, whether or not he's going to be able to handle himself in pass coverage. As for Keith Rivers, look, no one was – and if you would have listened to the shows last year in training camp, I know at that point you weren't. No one was a bigger Keith Rivers guy than I was. And I know you're probably surprised to hear that based on how I talk about him now. But he shows a lot. He's active. He runs well. He's a veteran. He knows the defense. All those things are good things with Keith Rivers. The problem with Keith Rivers is that he can't stay healthy. And until Keith Rivers can prove to me and the coaching staff and Giant fans and Coach Coughlin and his teammates that he can stay on the field, Shakes, I'm not willing to count on him. Look, I'll have him in my game plan. If he's healthy, will I use him? Sure. But how can you depend on a guy like that when you never know if he's going to be out on the field?
I know. It's like LeVar Arrington all over again. I swear, but I like Shark, though. I like Shark, and I like Aaron Curry, so I'm hoping both of them just come up and meet expectations because, you know, they was high draft picks. And I watched them both in college, and they were beasts. So, yeah. And I like Yosi, but like you said, he needs to show he can stop the run. But, I mean, we could use him like we used OC. OC wasn't a big run stopper neither. So, yeah, one more update.
Yeah.
T2 and Charles James, did they show anything?
Charles James, you know, I actually did watch him a couple plays. He didn't really do a whole lot. He didn't make any big mistakes, but he didn't really make any plays that jumped at him. As for Terrell Thomas, he's working out on the side. He seems to be optimistic that he's going to be able to do a little bit more in training camp. Now, they actually did a different type of ACL surgery with him. Rather than taking a cadaver ligament, they actually took something out of the patella, and that's what they used as the replacement ACL ligament. Apparently, that's what Terrell did when he had his first ACL back in college, and it held a little bit better. So he's hoping that he's going to be able to come back and have a little bit more of an impact and be healthier this year. And, you know, just talking to him, he seems to think where he fits in is in that slot, nickel, third safety, corner type of role
Yeah, so I was telling you in the offseason he's going to be that what we wanted Charles Woodson to be for us.
If he can stay healthy.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy. But Charles Jackson, like, he's more like, did he show anything in the kick return, though? Because he's more like a special teams guy.
Well, Charles James did drop a kickoff and fumble it. He picked it back up eventually. It was very windy yesterday, though, too. So I will give him a little bit of a pass because the wind was out, but he did have a little bit of trouble catching the kicks yesterday. And if you know head coach Tom Coughlin, if you don't catch him,
yeah,
you ain't playing.
That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign at all. Jernigan can tell you that is
exactly.
Not a good sign. All right, man. I'll call you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, Shakes.
Thanks
appreciate
for taking
it.
My call.
Great. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And Shakes at the top of his call did bring up Ahmad Bradshaw. And I would be remiss if I did not talk a little bit about that. Ahmad Bradshaw signing with the Indianapolis Colts. Apparently he really missed Avis Roper, our former assistant PR guy who's now running that shop over there in Indianapolis. But he goes there, and I think it's a great signing for the Colts. Look, their running game struggled last year. They can't overuse him. He'll have to just play a small role for them because of his feet, because of his ankles. But if he sticks with it and the Colts stick with him. He'll be good in pass protection, and I think it's a great fit for them, to be honest with you. I really do. I think Bradshaw will do an excellent job being a part-time running back, protecting Andrew Luck. I think it's a great pickup by the Colts. And in terms of the Giants running back's position, I think now they're going to have to really rely on a guy like Ryan Terrain to give some veteran leadership there. Because I don't see this team heading into next season with your three running backs active week in, week out, being Andre Brown, David Wilson, and Darrell Scott. I don't see it. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see it. I think you want a veteran there that you know can, you know, succeed in this league. I mean, it's not like Ryan Terrain's been a Pro Bowl running back here. I get that. But at least he's had some experience. So, I don't know. I still think the Giants have a little work to do at running back depth. I'm just a little worried about Wilson and Brown holding up for an entire season because I haven't seen them do it before. And Brown has been injury prone, whether it's the Achilles or the leg fracture last year. Now, can he get over that? Sure. Those are freak things. But has David Wilson proven he can carry the load? No. So I still think they should add a veteran running back, and I don't like Bradshaw signing with Indianapolis. I thought he would have been a good fit back here, to be honest with you. And I don't see Jacobs coming back either. I know that's the next question everybody has. So, no, I don't see that happening either. 201-939-4513. Len's in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing this morning?
Everything's well. How about you?
Good. Everything's good down here. I share your concern about the running backs. I don't know if, you know, as much a favorite as Ahmad was in my eyes, I'm not sure he would have been the right guy, but I do share your concern about the running back because, you know, these two guys, you know, have not done it before, you know, across a whole year. So we'll have to see what happens, but I think they're probably going to make a move there. Listen, let me ask you about a couple other players if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if you have some observation on how are they using Cooper Taylor? Is he shifting between safety and linebacker?
Cooper Taylor is a safety.
Are they really looking at him at the linebacker position, John?
No, Cooper Taylor is a safety. And if you looked at, and I said this the day he walked in the building, I took a look at Cooper Taylor, and the first thing that I said, this dude's no linebacker. He's a safety. He does not have the body, bulk, and size to be a linebacker.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that was one. And how about Jaquan Williams? Was he out there yesterday, John?
Jaquan actually was working. He was working with the teams. He was out there. He was doing some stuff, and I think that was pretty encouraging to see.
Yes, it is. It is. We need speed at linebacker, that's for sure. How about Justin Pugh? How were they? I mean, was he fitting in mostly at guard? Was he getting outside at right tackle? I heard you make some mention of Brewer getting yelled at and so forth, but how were they using Pugh?
You know what? I didn't actually see – you know what? I didn't notice Pugh out there. Dan, was Pugh mostly a tackle? Did you notice that? Yeah, I think he was mostly a tackle. Honestly, I didn't really
okay. –
you know, it's tough, Len. Honestly, I don't keep a really tight look on the offensive line,
yeah, okay.
even in minicamp, because there's no pads.
Yeah.
So really,
you
can't see a whole lot anyway.
Right,
so
right.
I wasn't really paying attention, but I can tell you they see Pugh as a tackle, and that's where they see him fitting in, especially early on. I don't think he has the bulk or size to move in and play guard right away.
Well, that's good. I think that's, you know, he belongs out there
right.
At right tackle. And, I mean, that's what we drafted him for. And, you know, it was a good move by Jerry at that point with the 19th pick, and I just hope he pans out and, you know, he can play that position. Nothing personal against Deal, but, I mean, again, they must have some feeling about Deal. Geez, what'd they do, cut his salary in half? I mean,
yeah.
You know, you cut a guy's salary in half and then you start him. It doesn't seem to make sense. So I'm kind of hoping that, you know, Pugh gets the start at right tackle and Deal is the swing guy. And he can milk a year or two like hopefully Ahmad can in Indianapolis, and I hope that works out for the guy. Okay, John, listen, thanks for taking my call. Great show, and we'll talk again, obviously.
Appreciate it, Len. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. I'll go through your tweets in just a second. I'm not sure if the Tino and Marks went through your tweets a whole lot yesterday. If not, I'll kind of go through them today. They didn't, right? No. All right, so we'll go through all the tweets in the last couple days today at some point before you say goodbye. But for now, let's go to Jay in Somerville. I believe that's in New Jersey, right, Jay?
Yeah, it's in South Jersey.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well.
I want to talk about our offensive line, giving Eli some more time.
Sure.
When I see things not going right for my New York Giants, is when Eli's not getting enough time. And when we have our Super Bowl runs, that's when Eli has time to get to our receivers. And I just want to know what you think about our offensive line this year and, you know, what they're trying to do.
Well, Jay, I think it should be better only by default since the guys are going to be healthy. I mean, Chris Neal last year battled through a hip. David Deal battled through a knee. David Boss, I was talking to him the other day. I don't want to give the exact number because it was kind of an off-the-record deal. But let me put it this way. David Boss had multiple surgeries in the offseason. He was a lot more banged up last year than I think a lot of people realize. So I think the line will be better just because they're all healthy. You add a guy like Justin Pugh, a first-round pick, that can only help things. James Brewer is another year into the league, one more year of experience. That should only help things. So you put all those things together, and I think the New York Football Giants will be better on the offensive line. Now, can these veterans stay healthy through all of this? Maybe they're just older and they're going to get hurt. That's possible. But I think the offensive line will be better simply by default because the guys are healthier.
When Eli have time, we're explosive, and then that's when you're talking about our wide receivers being the top receivers in the league, and I'm just hoping our line can block for Eli. That's what I'm hoping for this year.
No, I hear you, but the other thing, too, is that you got to create space in the running game, too, because that's something the Giants have not done quite consistently enough over the last couple of years is run the football, and that's a big part of it, too. This line's got to get some push in the running game.
Yeah, but Brown looked good to me last year before he got hurt. Wilson had some explosive plays. I'm hoping that we get a little bit of thunder and lightning out of them two guys. I think we can get that.
I appreciate it, Jay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, man. We'll go through some of your tweets here. You can give us a call, too, at 201-939-4513 or send in your questions to hashtag GiantsChat. Let's see. I'll go back to yesterday first. I think their question today is who will lead the Giants in touchdown catches, just for the record. AY says Victor Cruz. Jack says Akeem Nicks. No surprises there. I mean, I think there's a possibility of Brandon Myers, to be honest with you. Here's some multiple things, some different stuff. Mike Farmer, word that Hanoski could be back as early as week one. And is he and he's an up-and-coming fullback. Why are you so ready to replace him with an older guy? Well, Mike, quite honestly, I know the Giants say they hope he'll be ready for week one. My feel for it is that I think Hanoski's a legitimate pup list guy this year. I think there's just as good of a chance he gets put on the pup list and doesn't come back till week six as there is he's back for week one. So that's why I think you would consider bringing in a guy like Vonte Leach, who was cut by the Baltimore Ravens, because I'm not sure Hanoski will be there for week one. They hope he will be, but I think it's going to be tough. I think there's a better chance JPP is there for week one than Hanoski. Let me put it to you that way. This is kind of just a gut feel by hearing how people are talking about the injuries. Another one from Mike Farmer. I guess Tim Tebow came up on yesterday's show, I would imagine, huh? Yeah, so people are talking a little bit about Tebow, and I think the Patriots will figure out a way to use him. I think they'll use him to score a touchdown against the Jets in week two. Belichick will figure out a new way to stick it to his former team that he can't stand, and he'll go on his merry way. I'm just honestly, though, it's a good fit for him only because, you know, teams want to not pick him up because it's a circus. Not the matter that he can't really throw the football. But, you know, he could be useful on a team. He's a football player. And he's a good guy in the locker room, good work ethic, from all respects a good guy. And I think all this ESPN stuff turning him into the, you know, football messiah has basically hurt him a lot more than it's helped him. And I think the Patriots are a perfect fit for him. He can go under the radar. Belichick and that whole machinery will protect him. I think it's a good fit. Anyway, let's see. Adam Coombs, thanks for letting me in on Giants Chat in Virginia. Eddie Booten, Vonte Leach, we talked about that a little bit. Let's see. I'm not going to read that tweet. Let's see. Quentin Hoffman, this from today. Wilson and Brown can put up big numbers on the ground, but blocking in the backfield is a new concern. I think that's a good point, too, and I talked about just staying healthy, running the football, Quentin, but pass protection is an issue, too. Who's going to be your third down pass protector? You know, they used Greg Lumpkin the last, what, four or five games last year to be your third down guy. Now what are you going to do? Can Andre Brown do it? Can David Wilson do it? I think Brown's probably more able to physically because of his size and his strength. Can you trust one of those guys to block on third down? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Can Terrain do that? Eh. Or maybe they go a different direction. Maybe with Anoski out and Bear Pascoe playing a lot of fullback, maybe they slide Bear in there and have him be that third down pass protector and catch some balls out of the backfield. I think that's a possibility too. If you want to go outside the box a little bit. Mike Farmer, I think the Giants need to take a hard look at Michael Turner. Price may have come down. Our running backs are inconsistent. I'd be willing to take a look at Turner. I'm just not sure how much he has left in the tank. I worry about that. The fact that no one else assigned them, little worried about that. Let's see what else we got here on Twitter. Joe Bear, I think it's great Knicks is back. The running back situation is pretty good. Brown's a monster and Wilson's a speed, best of both worlds. Yeah, Joe, if both guys are healthy and do what they did in short bursts last year, I think you're right. But here's the problem with running backs. A lot of times, and we've seen this a bunch, when a backup running back, you know, these guys get their cameo and they do things for short stretches at a time, right? It's harder for them to sustain that over the course of an entire season. And do it again and again and again and take a pounding and stay athletic, stay dangerous, stay that same type of running back they were before when they only got spot duty. That's not easy. So that's what I worry about with Brown and David Wilson, to be honest with you. 201-939-4513. Steve's down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Doing all right.
Oh, you know, listen, you know, I'm just really not. I know that, you know, Brown obviously was hurt last year, but, you know, Wilson, I know he's not the biggest guy, but he doesn't really have a history of, you know, of being, you know, hurt, you know, a large amount of times, I should say. But, you know, my biggest thing is this, you know, behind him, do you think that we lost faith in Darrell Scott? I'm really not understanding why everybody's so concerned about the running game. I'm actually kind of optimistic. I'm, you know, like everybody else, I want to see what Brown does this year. But, you know, I'm really not that concerned about the running game as I am, you know, our linebackers. And I just wanted to know, I mean, is there something I'm missing? I mean, other than Brown being hurt last year and, you know, and Wilson not being that big in stature, I mean, we still have Ryan Lumpkin, don't we?
No, Lumpkin's no longer on the team, for one. And I think the bottom line here is that not one of these guys, look, is the talent there? Sure. Do I see what David Wilson can do? Yes, Steve. Do I see what Andre Brown can do? Certainly. Do I see Darrell Scott's speed? I certainly do. But when you don't have a guy in the roster that's done it before and shown they can do it consistently over the course of an entire season, that's when you start getting a little bit worried. Because as you know, the key to being a good running back in the NFL isn't only talent. It's durability. It's lasting power. It's the ability to go week after week and take a pounding and bounce back and still be that same guy. I don't know that these three guys can do that yet. And I think that's
what the concern is. I only know about three guys in the league that can do that. You know, if you really look at the last 5 years, nobody really can stay healthy. You need multiple backs. But let me ask you this real quick. Is Cedric Benson still out there?
Is who?
Cedric Benson.
I believe Cedric Benson is still a free agent. I don't think he's signed anywhere yet.
Yeah, what do you guys think of him?
You know, much like Turner, I'm not sure how much Cedric Benson has left. He wasn't exactly a great citizen over his NFL career. I don't think he gave the Packers a whole lot when he was their running back the last couple of seasons. I mean, would Cedric Benson be a decent stopgap? Maybe. If I told you I knew whether or not Cedric Benson was a good pass protector, I'd be lying to you. I'm honestly not sure about that. But
yeah.
Is that a guy you can bring in and look at and consider? I guess you can. I know Tim Hightower is another guy that's been here working out, if reports are correct. Maybe that's another option. I would just
Ryan
like
Terrain,
to,
is
Ryan Terrain is still with the team, and to me, that right now is your veteran insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, real quick before I go, let me just ask one more question. Sure. I mean, I've seen rumors. Everybody wants, you know, everybody's kind of calling for Vontae Leach. What have you heard? Anything that you could share with us about? Are we, you know, we, how close are we looking at him? And hopefully, we are looking at him.
I would love to tell you, Steve, but the Giants haven't announced anything on Leach. I don't know if he's been here or not, to be honest, either. But even if the Giants did bring him in, I wouldn't be able to report it because, you know, the Giants have to keep that stuff under the radar until they announce it themselves. I think, and I would be, let me put it this way, I'd be surprised if the Giants didn't do their due diligence on him, only because I think Kanoski's injury is pretty serious, and I would like to have another guy in here just in case. Now, here's the thing, though. The interest here has to be mutual. Vontae Leach has to want to come here. And is Vontae Leach going to want to come to a team that has a guy like Kanoski waiting in the wings to come back and take this job? Wouldn't Leach be better served going to a team that he can step in and be their starter this year and not have to compete with a guy like Kanoski when he gets back and he's healthy?
Hey, listen, I mean, you know, I love Kanoski, but I love, to me, it's no competition, man. I mean, Leach is one of the best fullbacks in the league. You know, but hey, that's just my opinion. You know, I do hope Kanoski comes back healthy. I know he knows the system, and he's done a great job, but to me, you know, Leach would definitely be a step up. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. As usual, great show. I'll be listening off the air. You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it, man. And again, I think they'd be foolish not to do their due diligence on Leach, considering Hanoski's injury. But I'll tell you what, this team likes Hanoski. Don't downplay it. They think he's become a very good blocker. He's got good hands. Do not downplay that. 201-939-4513. Let's go up to Charlie all the way up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, good. I wanted to talk about Leach.
Okay.
And it seems everyone's worried about the running backs. I think we're fine. I mean, the whole point of getting rid of Bradshaw and getting rid of Jacobs was because we wanted to move on and get these other guys an opportunity to play. These guys are never going to be able to do it unless they play, you know, unless you give them the opportunity to play. So bringing in another veteran back to me is totally a waste of time. If you were going to do that, you should have kept Bradshaw in the first place.
Well, to me, once Bradshaw proved he could get healthy, I would have liked him to be here simply as a third down guy that gets, I don't know, 5 to 7 carries a game and provide some measure of insurance policy.
Yeah. But that's not what Bradshaw wanted.
No, that's
Bradshaw,
correct. That's fair.
No way he was going to take that role.
Well, and also,
you know, Jacobs might take that role, but Bradshaw would never take that role.
Well, Charlie, the thing about it, too, is that Bradshaw got legitimate money in this contract. He got more than $1 million base. He got a signing bonus, and he has,
I believe,
bonuses in terms of how many games he's active. So that was money the Giants were not going to be willing to give Bradshaw based on the salary cap situation. No
question. And I think that's fine. I think they needed to move on from him, and I think they need to keep the guys they got, unless somebody falls from the sky somewhere, and just play these guys. One of these guys is going to be able to do it for a whole year. You know, you've got good running backs there. You got to play them. You know, you got to let them play. I don't think you need another veteran running back in there, unless somebody gets injured, then you do.
How about pass protection?
Huh?
How about pass protection, Charlie? Who do you trust back there to protect D-line
man
on
blitzes? Well, if none of these guys can pass protect, then what the hell are they doing on the team?
They can run the ball real well.
Yeah, but that's the only part of it, and they never should have got rid of Bradshaw or Jacobs. You got to remember, Jacobs was the one who passed protect for Eli that got the ball to Mario Manning.
Yep.
Who do you think, you know, I mean, there was a guy right ready to nail Manning, and it was Jacobs who was doing that. So for me, if you got to bring somebody back just to pass protect, you may as well bring him. But I think you need to sign Leach. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl fullback. You want your running game to get going. It's going to get going with a guy like that in your backfield. And I think that would upgrade the fullback position. It will upgrade the running back position. And that guy can definitely block for Eli Manning on third down. And then you got, you know, everyone's worried about the right tackle. You know, all this Brewer and the rookie. And, you know, you got Eric Wilson sitting out there who's an incredible right tackle. Nobody's signed this guy yet. He could probably be your right tackle for the next 8 years. And I just think, you know, the Giants should pursue this guy. You know, just you know, pursue him.
Well, look, I don't think they're going to go out there and sign Eric Winston and make him any type of long-term solution. You just drafted a guy. You want to be your starting right tackle for the next 12 years in the first round of the draft. You're not going to go out there and add a fairly high-priced free agent. I think Winston's still looking for multiple millions, even if it's just a one-year deal, probably $2 or $3 million in that one-year deal. They're not going to bring in Winston when they got Pugh here trying to be your starting right tackle in the long term.
Yeah, but how often has the Giants, Tom Coughlin, started a rookie on the offensive line?
Not
it
often.
It doesn't happen. He's going to be sitting for, you know, at least 6 games, 8 games, 10 games.
He's not going
to just go right out there and start.
I think Pugh will get more time than you think.
I would go after him, you know, Winston, and give him a one-year deal. I'd restructure. Eli said he'd restructure his contract, and Roll has got $7 million coming this year. Restructure his contract. Get some money so you can get somebody like Leach. You can get somebody like Winston. And then, you know, then you get your right tackle totally solved. You got a fullback who can actually block, really block, Pro Bowl blocker. And then you're going to have an upgrade running back. You don't have to worry about the guys behind you. You don't have to worry about these guys having to pass protect so much. You know, they'll be able to do that, but they'll also have somebody like Leach. I just think the Giants need to get some creative with their finances over here a little bit and go after some, you know, talented players that are available. And I know we're not going to get Leach because they won't pay him any money to get him. They want to pay him under $1 million. And, you know, it's sad. I just think it's sad that they're not willing to step up. And that second question is when are they going to sign the last two draft picks?
You know what? I'm not really sure what the holdup is on that, to be honest with you. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised it
hasn't gotten done yet. They both guys are slotted in. I'm not positive what the holdup is. I haven't heard anybody really ask or talk about it. I think everyone considers it a fait accompli. It's going to get done. So honestly, Charlie, I don't have a good answer for you on that one. I'm not sure why that hasn't gotten done yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Thanks. Have a good day, man.
Thanks, Charlie. Just remember though, if you want to restructure guys like Roland Manning. That money doesn't disappear. It gets pushed back. And you really want to be pushing back money to Roland Manning when next year you have to worry about getting Cruz and Knicks both lined up long term. And you might have to restructure Eli Manning just to get Cruz under contract if he signs a long term deal this offseason. I'm not sure they have that $6 million under the cap right now to sign Victor Cruz. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't. I think that's a deal where they're going to have to restructure Eli to get Cruz done. So, we'll take a look at that. And maybe they're waiting Pugh and Nassib to figure Cruz out, and they're all affected, and in order to fit Nassib and Pugh under, they're going to restructure Eli, but they don't want to restructure Eli unless they have to give Cruz a long-term contract. Those things could all be interconnected and intertwined somehow. I'm just hypothesizing here, to be honest with you. But, you know, the cap's complicated, you know what. And they have that stuff on lockdown up there. But remember, next year, Knicks and Cruz, JPP the following season, Linval this year, then you got Eli, who you're going to have to give a boatload of money to. So let's relax. And remember, there's always a price for restructuring contracts and pushing money backwards. You're not getting rid of money. You're pushing it back. And that could burn you down the road. Ask the Dallas Cowboys about that, who are already, I think, $15 or $20 million over the cap for next season. Good luck figuring that one out, Cass. 201-939-4513. Final call. The show's Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's going on?
Johnny, welcome to the Leach Show. John Schmuck this morning.
I know. It is Vontae Leach Central here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Gotta love it. Hey, man, I just want to ask about training camp. When is it this year? And do you think, because it's not at Albany this year, will things be a little different? What can we expect? And then maybe with the Super Bowl being in New York, will they kind of connect those two things together and make it kind of special or different?
Well, the last time the Giants had training camp here at the Timex Performance Center was a lockout season. The Giants won a Super Bowl. So if it's different, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It is going to be a little bit different because the guys are going to be here. They can see their friends, see their family, and you're not isolated like you are up in Albany where all you really have are us, you know, the guys that work for the team, the guys that are on the team, the coaching staff, and we're kind of in a bubble up there. And that's how it works. It's going to be different down here. There's no question about it. Is that a bad thing? I mean, there are negatives, there are positives. The positive is that you're in your own training facility. You don't have to worry about sleeping in these dopey college dormitories. You have three full practice fields. In addition to that, you have an indoor field and a half a turf field outside. People in the tri-state area, since the practices are open to the public, I guess probably starting on the 27th when they have their first practice, it is open to the public. So people will be able to come that don't live in Albany, instead live down here, which really more the most Giant fans are. And, you know, I think it'll be a fun atmosphere. Is it going to be different? Sure. Is that a bad thing? I can't be too upset about it. The last time they had it, they won the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't sweat too many bullets about it, Dave.
It sounds like almost psychologically it might even be better for them to be home for something like that. So maybe. All right, Johnny, thanks.
Appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Let's see. Mike Farmer, we have three running backs. Only need Turner to have a third of a tank left. That's not bad. Need a solid bet. I'll buy that. Marwan Ali, Giants don't need Benson. He's a washed-up name. I tend to agree with that. Let's see. Yeah, that's what I thought they were. Marwan Ali writes in, Giants are about $3.3 million under the cap. And they already have 2.9 of that cap space dedicated to the offer for Victor Cruz's restricted free agent tender. So I guess that'll put them around 6.2. So that might be enough to get Victor Cruz under. But again, then you got to pay Pugh and Nassib, and that'll eat into that $3 million. I think that'll probably eat most of that $3 million, actually, for Pugh and Nassib, if I'm not mistaken. And he points out again, the Raiders have $50 million in dead money this upcoming season. And yeah, they're cleaning up a mess there. And that's what you got to worry about, pushing money back. It's a problem. Everybody, good job on the phones this morning. Thanks for calling in. Minicamp continues today and tomorrow. Check out all the coverage on Giants.com. We have our great ability, new feature. I'm not sure what we're calling on the website. Snappy TV, is that what we're talking on the website? Sure. We it's a new technology. We've kind of worked with some outside people to get moving where we can – it's not live, but we can almost instantaneously post what's highlights from practice as they're happening. So it's not the second it's happening, but maybe a minute, 2 minutes later. It's up on the web, and it's going up. You can see the highlights from practice. It's actually a really cool feature. Make sure you check that out. I'll have an end-of-the-day report today. Coach Coughlin meets the media. The players meet the media. So it should be a fun day here on Giants.com. Make sure you stay tuned and check it out. Everybody, thanks for joining us for our entire crew. I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place, 10 a.m. right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.